Good evening, folks. We have reached an inflection point with respect to the rate and the visibility of the demise of modern agriculture in the face of rapidly changing climate as we enter the grand solar minimum. Now, the mainstream media this week has finally started to pick up on the fact that the U.S. is facing its worst planting on record, and China, not wanting to be left out, is now having a bout with armyworm, that not mincing words when they say this literally threatens our economic and social stability. So these things are happening rapidly, and that presents the opportunity for you and I to go out and have conversations with people who are seeing these things and wondering what the hell is going on. Why is it getting colder? And those conversations need to be had right now, because as Arctic sea ice in Canadian waters hits its 14-year high since 2004, people are wondering, and they can't hide this information, nor are they going to hide the increasing prices of food. And so what do? Yes, they clamp down even harder on censorship. Apple News removing Natural News for an article that just said carbon dioxide actually is plant food. Nope, we disabled your channel. You advocated views that were overwhelmingly rejected by the scientific community. Here comes the 97% to delete you off the internet, to deplatform you. We're going to talk about all this tonight. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer channel. In the U.S., it's not just the corn planting that's been affected by the widespread floods and cold temperatures. Widespread alfalfa winter kill is also being reported. Name any upper Midwest state, and there's a good chance widespread alfalfa winter kill is being discussed. By now, growers have been able to assess the damage, ranges from complete loss to only portions of the field. Things have been killed, quote, presumably from being under ice and water for an extended period of time. Yeah, that might have done it. So this obviously is playing out in the Midwest, just as we had looked at last time. Yes, the corn is the slowest on record. Planting is way off behind. Only 49% of the corn is in the ground. And some of the traders have noticed in the last 2 weeks, you can see they finally acknowledged that that the corn is not getting planted. Futures prices have been spiking. And some people were commenting on my previous video, well, I don't like corn, or it's mostly sugar, or it's all GMO, or a number of things that sort of discounted the effects that this will have. And so let me just remind you, corn, because of the fact that it's in high fructose corn syrup, is in almost everything. And so when corn prices rise, we're going to see fuel prices go up, ethanol. We're going to see food prices almost across the board go up. And in general, it's just going to be painful. So here's AccuWeather coming out, just as I had done, several days ago, and saying, yeah, it doesn't look like we're going to get these things in the ground, and the USDA's estimates are way too high because it's going to continue raining and we're not going to get these things planted. The next 2 weeks are critical. Most intended corn acres are not going to get planted by June 1, and so yields will be heavily influenced. In fact, AccuWeather puts a number on it. They say it's going to be 14.1 billion instead of 14.9. So better part of a billion bushels of corn has just disappeared from the face of the United States corn production. Wall Street Journal also picked up, and I just wanted to highlight here that, of course, they picked up on this not because of the farmers, but because it was hurting seed and chemical sales at ag firms like Dow, DuPont. So it's just when the big companies try and cover their bottom line, that's when they finally notice the pain that these farmers have been experiencing for months now. Quote from the Wall Street Journal, the wettest year on record is raising costs for the biggest agricultural companies. Boo-hoo. It's also stalling farmers' field work, and it's going to increase your food prices. Quote, it's got to be the worst ever that we've seen. So yes, record slow planting, the worst ever we've ever seen. The past 12 months were the wettest May to April period since record keeping began in 1895. Are you seeing what's going on here? Is it as visible as this needs to be? How can I more clearly explain this? The United States is the biggest exporter of corn in the world, exporting some almost 40% of the world's total exports that are moving all around. So when we experience, and there's already some threat, if you're reading analysis out there, there's already some talk that US is not going to meet its export contracts. Its external deliveries are not going to be made. So yes, 90% of the grain we produce now comes in the form of corn. I had pulled up this just to sort of underscore to those people who are saying, oh, it's all GMO, I don't want it anyway. Yeah, it's pretty firmly entrenched in our American economy. And that's in no small part thanks to the huge government subsidies that have made it just, that's just distorting the market when they put a finger on the scales like that. We grow it all, it becomes part of ethanol and all sorts of other things. So yeah, it's a huge part of almost every part of our economy. Farmers on the ground are even saying it's going to be worse than, you know, they're calling for 3 million prevented plant acres. I think it's going to be worse than that. This is in no way near a growing season that's normal. It's wetter and cooler. In 35 years, I've never seen it like this. So just as the big companies were saying it's the worst year ever, just as the data is saying this is the worst year on record for planting, just as the farmers are saying in 35 years, I've never seen it like this, these are voices from various parts of the agricultural spectrum, all in unison, all in agreement that this is the worst year ever. Up in Canada, they're starting to feel some of the effects as rain hampers planting Midwest efforts. In the Midwest U.S., analysts grapple with the domino effects on crop prices. And I liked the language down here. They said, quote, in the last couple of weeks, we sort of have a market that's almost maybe waking up to some of the weather threats that we're building. Good morning. Welcome. I'm glad you could join us. Yes, there are huge things at foot here, Jonathan. And it's good that you're waking up to them. Corn is widely used in grocery products, animal feed, fuel. Yes, we get it. Canada also was reporting rainy, cool weather, cold and wet, has been bad for Nova Scotia farmers. Crops are delayed getting in the ground. Greenhouses even are also affected. You've seen the weather. You just can't physically drive equipment on this wet ground. Everything is, quote, definitely running 2 to 3 weeks behind. That's the shortening of our growing seasons in the grand solar minimum. The data is matching our theories. All right, let's go to this from the Canadian government directly. Northern Canadian waters average sea ice area popping in 2018 to the record levels for the last 14 years since 2004. There's a lengthy Twitter conversation about this and how it was derived. Here is straight from the data table itself, unambiguously displaying that this is the highest since back in 2004 that the sea ice has been measured. And of course, this is the data matching up with reality, as we have been seeing that people are experiencing the effects of the increased sea ice, that ferries couldn't get through, that fishermen were unable to go out and start looking for lobsters because it was completely iced over there. So we're seeing the cold, wet conditions, both on the land and at sea, affect crop production and protein production. I saw Dr. Patrick Moore, one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, testifying to a U.S. subcommittee, first of all, that there's no record CO2 has anything to do with the temperature on this planet. Well, he would be banned for Apple News just for saying that, so he's lucky that he got it on the congressional record. And then specifically to the grand solar minimum, he was asked about cycles of the sun. He responded to, in a congressional subcommittee, quote, I've been watching this prediction of the grand solar minimum for some time now, and it's now coming to pass. And so I'm willing to say that, yes, it appears the grand solar minimum is occurring and will continue to occur for some time and will result in a cooling of the climate, which we see just in the last couple of years beginning to set in. Yes, we do. And we're beginning to see how drastically it's affecting all aspects of crop production and our lives. Indeed, in the Arctic, the ice is more prevalent now. Yeah, we just saw the data. At least 14, precisely. He's got the same data we do because it's reality, folks. This is where this is where the truth lies. But the truth cannot be shared. We have to clamp that down. It overwhelmingly rejected by the scientific community. Can you imagine being the product manager at Apple that has to sit down and write this? Yeah, Bob, we have to put out this message that just completely destroys the First Amendment. Overwhelmingly rejected by the scientific community. But of course, this is no real surprise. We knew that big tech has been clamping down. We've seen them put blurbs underneath climate truth videos. We saw the BBC change their guidance that they were no longer going to be providing a platform to people who are, quote, climate deniers, anyone who differs from the totalitarian global warming agenda, Agenda 21. We saw props to Dave Dubine over at Adapt 2030, who noticed this from The Guardian. Little editorial guidance. The Guardian is changing the language we use about the environment. House Style Guide recommends terms such as climate crisis and global heating. So again, they're morphing the language. They know they've lost the battle for climate change. So they cede the territory and they just call it a crisis now. And this also speaks to that most recent report that the IPCC came out. This is, we have another 12 years. This is the continuing ratcheting up of the language. So climate crisis. And then we'll use this crisis. They will never let it go to waste, of course. Instead of climate change or climate, we're now going to say climate emergency, climate crisis, climate breakdown. And they are. They've already begun doing this. Mount Agung erupting today. And sure enough, just down at the bottom, here's the climate crisis. At this critical time, we cannot turn away from the climate crisis. So they're acknowledging these things are happening. The crops are being lost. There's massive changes happening on our planet. And so we're going to put this footnote down here. Our editorial guidance dictates that we tell you every time it's because of the climate crisis, the global heating. That's what's going on. And meanwhile, they'll censor us from the internet. So this is all you're going to get. This editorial guidance from The Guardian, from the BBC. They're crafting their message. They're telling you we're fed up with climate change. I've been talking about this for a long time. But to feel it come down now, again, with these words, you can no longer express views that are overwhelmingly rejected by the scientific community. Boy, it's surreal, but it's real and it's happening now. And of course it's happening now when you see the worst year ever. Don't you feel it? You can't push this off anymore. They have to do these things now. All right, turning to China briefly. Of course, their pork production has fallen off the charts because of African swine fever this year. This is a chart compared to the baseline over here, 2010 production. So Russia is improving their production. Note that China, of course, is the global leader of production. So this is just percentage changed since that baseline. China would be way up at the top, even now, for global production of pork. But that's what that chart means. And I wanted to point this out. Prices from The Economist here, who's just finally started covering it, a porkalypse now. Always they have to make puns and try and make light of the situation. African swine fever hits at the home of half of the world pigs, and I was going to read, prices of the meat, quote, are about 40% higher than a year ago. Last month, they rose just by 14% alone. Dealers are releasing frozen stocks to help stabilize the market. So these 40% increase, this is with them trying to soften the blow by just putting out the emergency stockpiles. But when frozen pork becomes scarcer, prices are likely to climb further. The same is true in the U.S. with corn production. As we dig into our strategic reserves to make domestic production what it needs to be, never mind the external contracts, then we'll eat through them quickly, and then we'll hit the real, then the rubber really hits the road on the price increases and the food scarcity. Okay, and more on this the Chinese armyworm situation. Fears grow as the armyworm continues to invade. It's in now all the provinces. It's eating maize, rice, and sorghum, many at a rapid rate. Go a little faster here. And as I said before, it is crucial to control the armyworm, quote, so that we can hit annual grain output targets and maintain economic and social stability. So while we've had our eye on the U.S. in this planting situation, it may be China, through a combination of the African swine fever and now this army worm, that actually enters a bit of a black swan agricultural collapse there. 92,000 hectares of farmland already eaten by the army worm since it was detected in January, and this is a severe situation. Their words, not mine. Affecting the corn as well as sorghum and sugarcane. So folks, that's a developing situation. And you can see this is a global problem. Food production is being affected around the world. Don't worry, animal feed could carry African swine fever into the U.S., according to researchers. Just providing a little bit of the scripting there so that we can introduce the famine over here as well. But don't worry, they're already working on a African swine fever vaccine for their deadly hog disease. So this, of course, begs the question, are we looking now at the possibility of mandatory vaccines for livestock? I'm sure the government would love any excuse to take further control over our protein production in the face of this global protein shortage. All of this is developing. We'll keep an eye on it. what is already certain is that we are now facing complete changes to our agricultural system and thus to our way of life. And I pray, folks, that you are taking steps every day to start your garden, to get experience with that, to be producing protein sustainably and responsibly on your own property, and to be growing these systems that will be there for yourself and your family and your community as this plays out. Things are getting ugly out there. And folks, also, it's worth mentioning, if you're not getting my videos directly from iceagefarmer.com, it's safe to say that you're now missing something, because YouTube is taking down every video they can find an excuse, any bit of a news clip or some sound from a music in the background. They are picking new copyright claims, even on older videos, and blocking them globally. So as of now, they are trying to diverge from reality. That's part of the censorship, and it's all happening now. Folks, I've done my best to put this information out there. I apologize if it wasn't organized in a neat, pretty way with a bow tie on it, because the stakes are high, and I don't know how to put a bow tie on it. This is all really important, and I hope that you're passing on this information, because it's only so much we can do talking to people offline. They own the online space, so have those conversations offline. As I mentioned, people are wondering what's going on when you see the worst season ever. You know, there's a good conversation. That's an icebreaker. That's a good conversation starter. Please go have those conversations, and let's go build great things.